Okay, looks like we're live, guys. G'day, my name's Alex from the Tripod, and this week, once again, we'll be breaking down round 15 in our rapid reaction pod. Not a bad week this week. We went 24 and 22 on our best bets, despite the Tigers Raiders game just then. For fuck's sake, going 3-10 on that one. But despite that, we still managed to be up for the weekend, which is quite a feat considering, obviously, we lost 10 bets on that game, but brutal one to watch. Jacob, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. It is a bittersweet end to the round, even though we scraped out a winning round there and a couple of our multis. We had those insurance multis on Crown and on Willie, and both of them, we lose a leg. We needed the unders in that game there. And to be honest with you, if we talk about the game we just finished, I mean, the Raiders held their end of the bargain. They played like their season was on the line. The amount of games they've cost us falling to pieces late, they end up winning the second half 38-0. But, you know, the Tigers, no showing, a game like that, really surprising. It does happen in an NRL season where a team will just shit the bed one night. And unfortunately for us, it was in this game. And it was just, I don't know, one of those days for us. Like, we didn't think the Tigers would score many points. So we had them under 10 points first half. They scored 12 in the first half, so we lose that. But then 12 for the game. And as you said, we went 3 out of 13. We really loved unders in that game, and it was not to be.
Yeah, we did love the unders, and there were a few reasons. Obviously, you know, it's a massive game. I think 9th and 10th on the ladder, we thought that they would both put in. I think it really showed not having Benji and Reynolds there. I mean, Benji has been the rock for them this year, just the way that they've been playing, just fucking being real solid. And, you know, the thing is, like, when you're a team like the Tigers and you're relatively talent deficient, you fucking have to be able to control the game, control the tempo, and win these low-scoring games like they have done. So they really miss that, because the Tigers do not have the talent to go point for point with a team like the Raiders. And the Raiders just wanted it more. And, just in the end, like, the Tigers just could not hold on to the ball long enough. And Hodgson, what a return. He was fucking awesome. And now, yeah, like we've been kind of saying, well, we're hoping at the start of the season the Raiders would be contenders. But
you've got to pay attention. You've got to pay attention to the Green Machine. Now he's back. He fucking lit the Tigers up this afternoon, and he's going to be a big add. Now the Tigers will add Moses and Bai too. You mentioned they did miss Benji and Josh Reynolds in terms of steering them around the park, but they're not the ones making the tackle. Like, no excuse for that. They were piss poor today. But I still think Tigers will, you know, I'm not going to put a line through them yet. I just think it was just a terrible day at the office for them and for us.
Yes, very true. And then backtrack to Friday, the Rabbits beating the Eels 42-24. We did have four plays on that one. We went 1-3. Fuck me. I mean, we really thought the Eels would put up a brave showing with off a little bit of confidence, and they did. They were fucking up 8 points with less than 10 minutes left in the first half. That crushed a bit, obviously, giving up two late tries in the first half. But they looked really good in that first half. They were fucking matching it toe-to-toe with the South forwards. And then it was just like five tries in the space of fucking 20 minutes just crushed their soul, and the Rabbits did show why they are complete contenders with those four origin stars back.
Yeah, we went 24 and 22 this round, and the theme of the games that cost us was home teams having an absolute horrible performance. One was the Eels, and then we'll talk about the Dogs later. I mean, people say they played a good half. The commentators said, this is the Eels' best half of the season. They lost the half 16-14, and the Rabbitohs dropped a shitload of ball, and the Eels played well when they had the ball. They looked interested when they had the ball, and we've said they might just play kind of carefree and they'd be a good team to back on in overs, because they can, you know, when they're gelling, they can put on some points, and they did. They scored three first half tries. That was all right, because we had the Eels over 12. That was nice, but then they conceded. I mean, do I have this right? They conceded 8 straight tries from being up something like 14-6. To down 40-14. I mean, fuck me dead. What can you do? Brad Arthur might not be there too much longer. It's the only thing, question mark I have. How much of that was the Eels being putrid, and how much of that was the Rabbitohs being clinical? I think it was a bit of both.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And then next up, the Warriors beat the Cows 23-16. We did like the Cows in that one. Despite them losing by the 7, we still go 5 wins, 4 losses on the game. Yeah, just another fucking back-breaking loss for the Cows. It's just been the fucking theme of their season. They just get into these close games and just find ways to lose them. And I don't necessarily think they found a way to lose that game. I think they were quite unlucky. Some of the calls went against them late in the game. They butchered a few tries in those final, you know, 10 minutes. They had chances there. But the Warriors, very, very impressive. I mean, obviously, it was a decent spot for them too. They had you know, no Origin stars and a bye in round 13, so they were relatively fresh. But once again, just another terrible, terrible loss for the Cows, and it's looking more and more likely that the grand finalists are not going to be in the eight this year.
Oh, yeah, that's the absolute certainty. And unfortunately, Morgan's season is over, and it's been a shocking season for him. And, you know, we've criticised his form, but it's kind of come out in the last few weeks that he's been playing still with a groin injury that had never recovered. And, I mean, RTS ended his season in the most undignifying fashion. And, boy, you love to see a guy like that carve up RTS, but you don't love to see it when you have money on the Cowboys. So it was painful for them.
Made Morgan look like a child.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he made them all look silly there. But, The Cowboys, they were fucking close, you know, they came all the way back. We can talk about some calls. We made some comments that, you know, we felt that some calls were harsh. I mean, getting a penalty against you in possession for back chat, that is harsh with 15 minutes to go and you're down two. Jonathan Thurston missed back-to-back conversions. They were down two in that game. But there were also just really close moments where they had multiple opportunities to score a try and they were millimetres short. So it really could have gone either way. And as you said, we had nine players favouring the Cowboys, but as it was three tries each and we had the Cowboys to score over a certain number of points first half, we actually scraped our way to 5-4, which is all right. But yeah, the Warriors, very impressive performance, and I didn't realise that like Magic Johnson, RTS have like made themselves unavailable for this test match over in the US next week. It does show you how seriously they're taking this season, and so they'll get an extra week to freshen up, and we've got to take the Warriors seriously moving forward too.
Yeah, that makes him look very tasty in the week after, obviously, you know, because that would have been a five-day turnaround, I think, against the Sharks, and obviously with all your new rep players backing up. But if that's not the case, then they're looking tasty. Then next up, we swept the Roosters game. Roosters crushed the Panthers. We had eight bets. We won all eight of them. Like we kind of said, this was the fucking Roosters side that we've been hoping to see all year. We said at the start, at the very start of the season, this is a complete contender. It's the most talented roster on the park. And they've kind of been just like, you know, just been going 50% throughout the whole season. We haven't really seen them turn it on throughout the year. But we kind of thought this would be the game against the red-hot Panthers side. Obviously, you know, Cleary and Maloney backing up from Origin. They didn't look that good in that game. A lot of errors in the kicking game and that sort of thing. But, yeah, Roosters finally put in a good showing. The only fucking issue is, and we said this, is that now we're going to fucking lose some value on the Roosters moving forward because the secret's out now. They are complete contenders.
Yep, and if you follow our power ratings, they've been right at the top the whole year. They've been ahead of the Panthers the whole year. They are the best team in the comp, and we're very fearful to ever bet against the Roosters because we know what they can do. We won eight out of our eight plays in that one. And I know Campbell Gillard got a broken jaw, but I mean, you also had Takiyaho scratched early for the Roosters. They lost Latrell during the match. It didn't matter. Panthers weren't even that bad, but the Roosters did just light them up. And we bravely went against the Roosters the week before against Newcastle. And that does go to show that, you know, we don't have teams that we will blindly play every week or blindly play against. You do try and look for spots. In that case, they did enough to win down in the Hunter, and then they wanted to make a statement against this Panthers team that was top of the ladder, and they certainly did.
Yeah, definitely. Next game, the Titans absolutely crushed the Doggies 32-10. We had nine plays on that one. We ended up going 4-5 because we had a slight lean to the Titans, but we did really like the under. We thought the Bulldogs would show up, you know, in Byers' last game at Belmore. You know, generally they do show up, and we know how bad the Dogs' offense was, and it was bad again. I think we said, you know, they've scored over 20 points once this whole season and they didn't do it again. But what we didn't count on was their defense just being absolutely putrid. I mean, four fucking tries in the first 20-something minutes. That's not going to get it done. And that pretty much crushed, you know, most of our underbets, especially for the Titans. But, yeah, Titans too good and just a dismal showing from the Dogs in Moses and Byers' send-off.
Yeah, like we've said that we expected a big performance at Belmore, though they were mentioning during the game their record at Belmore actually isn't good. But fuck me, the defense was that bad, they made Michael Gordon look young again. They fucking, their left side of defense got absolutely shredded to pieces all first half and pretty much the whole game. And when you do bet unders and home team just has absolutely no effort in tackling, has no interest in fucking being in a contest, it doesn't go under. So we actually were lucky to at least have a few Titans plays in that one and scrape through. The Titans just wanted it more, and it's a tough pill to swallow for Dean Pay. I don't know, like, what changes he can even make at this point. Now he loses and buy as well.
Yeah, it's very tough because they didn't have many playmakers to start with, and Mbai was one of their best. So, I mean, the Doggies moving forward, they were an under team already, but they're probably even more so now. Then only the one play on Dragons Manly. We did win that one. It was Dragons halftime, full time. And we just kind of thought, you know, Manly may or may not show up. The thing was, they've been, you know, they've been dragged through shit the whole week. Obviously, they got pummeled the week before. The Dragons won, so it was a decent spot for them. But with all the drama surrounding that Manly team, we kind of thought that they would need to be ahead at halftime if they were going to put up a fight. And we figured if they weren't, they could just, you know, they could go down the gurgler. And that's exactly what happened. Didn't score a try in the second half. And once they got down by a decent margin, it looked like they kind of did lose some spirit.
But I think that was more to do with the Dragons being very clinical as well. Very impressive defensive.
That's been, yeah.
Manly had multiple breaks and multiple overlaps, and somehow, some way, the Dragons scrambled and kept them out. It was impressive. I actually think Manly weren't probably as bad as the final scoreline showed. If you see how many tries they butchered, dead set. But Dragons were too good for them. And, you know, on a positive note for Queensland, and I think we're looking out to see who gets finalised on that side. Hunt did look good. He did not look hampered by that quad injury, and that's what we need. He was impressive last night. He needs to be impressive a week from now.
Yes, very true. And we need guys like Latrell to stay injured. Ben, Broncos-Sharks. Broncos get the upset down at Shark Park, and we went 2-0 in that game. We probably should, obviously in hindsight it's easy to say, but we kind of said we were leading Broncos, and Linus didn't let us do it because we understand the Sharks are the more talented roster, and they were at home, but the spot screamed to take the Broncos. So we took a couple of first half plays, they both won. But yeah, quite impressive from the Broncos actually. They were the better team by far for about 60 minutes, and they let the Sharks come back in with two late tries, and the Sharks looked like they were going to come over the top of them in those last 10 minutes, if not for a sneaky little forward pass, once again, deciding a game. But I won't get too much into that. Still, good win for the Broncos away from home.
Yeah, it was. It was a good performance by Brisbane. You can't take too much away from, but, I mean, Boyd's pass to Oates was forward, and fucking miraculous effort that he still actually got the ball down. And I can understand the are going to be salty about that one. But, you know, take that one off the board. It's a bloody close game. I think it was 16-all when that happened. And we'd already cashed our plays on the Broncos. We definitely knew they would lift. And we've been giving out so many best bets this season. And we're 57%. We wish we were winning at an even better rate. But we are giving out as many bets as we possibly can. But we are disciplined. Like we said, we need at least plus six to play Brisbane. We couldn't find a plus six. We had to pass it, even though, you know, we said that Brisbane was probably the value side in that game. And yes, you always wish you had more bets on the ones that won and you had less on the ones that lose.
Of course.
Don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, like you said, we said we'd take 6.5. Then it seemed like that was never going to be the case. And so, fuck, maybe we'll get a 6. No sixes around. And of course, the game closes like 4. So at least then, you know, you don't have as many bets on it, but at least you know that you're handicapping it correctly if the line's moving in the direction that you want.
It's like when you're on the dance floor and you say to yourself, like, I'm going for a 6, minimum of a 6. I will not. And then it gets later and later. You get a bit more drunk and your mates are saying, look, there's a 4.5 over there. Take the 4.5. And we've got lots of mates that certainly would. In fact, they'd probably jump on the first 2 that they could find. But you've got to, you know, believe in yourself and stay disciplined out there.
Well, it's funny, you've got to also know how good you are as well. I think over 4 years, we've kind of shown that we're decent at sports betting. But if you're on the D floor and you never pick up chicks, sometimes you just fucking have to take the 2 home early. But yeah, we try and keep our standards a little bit higher than that. And then the only game, speaking of, you know, being a bit disciplined, we didn't have any bets on the Storm Knights game. And the reason being was the line was 10.5. The Knights are at home. We understand the Storm are the much better side. But we thought the Knights would put in a decent performance at home. And they were decent. You know, Storm got a couple long-range tries. But once again showed that they are, you know, one of the premier, teams in the comp. And fucking Adokar is absolutely lightning. The guy is fucking fastest dude ever. But yeah, Storm, good win. But lucky we didn't have any bets on that game because I don't even know what we've done. Maybe we would have taken like a 12.5 with the Knights or something.
We said that the line was quite high. It was too high to play the Storm, even though one of our multis, we took the Storm just straight up. So we felt it was a good spot for the Storm getting their centres back. They would win that game. And you know what? The Knights really should have been closer too. Their completion rate was absolutely atrocious. Like, that would have been painful to watch if you had money on the Knights, or, you know, if you were a Knights fan. The amount of balls they dropped was absolutely horrendous. It was
unreal.
Surprising how long they actually kept themselves in the game. I mean, they're in this game down 14-10. And they must have had about 10 errors in the first 45 minutes. And, you know, bloody Connor Watson, I think it was maybe six all when they spread it out. They've got an overlap on the right and his, you know, terrible grubber ends up in the hands of Addo Carr. And it, next thing you know, it's 12-6. And then second half, they're down 14-6, makes an absolutely clean break. All you have to do is pass on the run and you're in under the post and you're back at 14-12. Yep. Throws it at I think it was Kenny Seo's feet. So that's a 12 points he's completely responsible for, arguably 18 points if the Knights could have actually manufactured a try. So, and he's done that before too. So that's a concern when you have halves that can't pass. Ponga, once again, impressive in a beaten side. And I think Queensland has to find a way to put him in their 17.
It's got to be tough for him. I know he's young, but it's like, you're by far the best player on this fucking putrid Knights roster. And there's no excuse. Like, fair enough, that first pass out to the winger, I think it was Sio, yeah, it was a bit low. You still got to be able to catch that. You've got fucking acres of green space in front of you. Take your time, you fucking catch it. You don't need to be running onto the ball and you'll score a try there. But heaps of passes are fucking on the chest and they're dropping it cold. So you just need to fucking go back to the practice field and fucking, you know, practice catching some fucking passes. It's your job, for fuck's sake. But anyway, that will wrap up the week. So bad ending, but still a winning week. So we'll be back at it on Wednesday to break down round 16 and obviously Origin as well. Wednesday, 6 p.m. we'll do that. But yeah, we'll catch you guys
then. We'll have to say stay tuned because we have rep round next weekend. So we've got test matches Saturday. We've got test match Sunday. We obviously got Origin Sunday. And we'll definitely do an Origin preview. But whether we do stick to our normal Wednesday schedule, we may, you know, mix it up a little bit because we don't have a full round of NRL starting Thursday, so we haven't really decided. As you can see, we're doing this live, you know, we don't edit these videos, we'll figure it out. So stay tuned and we'll let you know when the next podcast is coming. But any final thoughts, World Cup, anything to close the weekend?
No, World Cup's been fun. I've actually been watching some soccer and I've been very loud about that. I fucking find soccer very boring. But for the one time in every 4 years, I'll watch a couple of games. And I have watched two games. And they've both been very good. So, you know, maybe I'm converted. At least till the next World Cup.
At least until the next nil-all draw. Australia, pretty unlucky last night, really. Both goals were conceded unlucky. But, hey, we have hope into the next couple of games. And losing 2-1 to the side that's probably going to top the group may not be the worst thing in the world. If France can put some goals on the other teams in that group, anything can happen. In that round ball sport, anything can happen. And it has been exciting. And I know you watched Portugal, Spain. There's some good shit. This is it's the highest level. It's the biggest sporting competition we have on this year. So you want to put some money down and be exciting.
And even if you fucking don't like soccer, just download the Tripod app. We gave away $100 in bonus bets for the Australia-France game. We'll probably do a similar thing for the rest of Australia's games, at least two of them. Download the Tripod app, get all our tips in there, all our bonus bet comps, we'll have a couple for the soccer as well, and we will see you guys, we'll let you know when we'll see you, but we'll see you sometime next week to break down rep round.
Cheers, lad.